You are now plugged into Action Features.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Happy Valentine's Day.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Yep.
Well,
spending it with the one I love.
I've been waiting.
I mean,
it's okay.
Spending it doing something that I enjoy to do today. Nice. On a festive day.
Nice save.
Yep.
I want to tell all my listeners, all of my listeners.
Because they don't listen no. to me. They're just listening.
They're just
to
waiting. Me. That's blank. It's empty space.
Every time
space.
I talk, it's like, oh, shut up.
I want to tell our listeners that I'm a little bit sick. I've had a sore throat, so if I sound funny, if it's annoying to you,
then just turn off his part.
Just turn it down when I'm talking, and turn it back up when James is talking, as if you could tell.
Man,
we've got an action-packed episode.
There's so much stuff to do. We're not doing the X-Men episode again.
Nope, can't
Blaze,
do that.
Blaze is going to be upset.
I'm sorry, Blaze.
There's a lot of stuff to cover.
It'll happen.
We got a lot of snack treats that were sent.
I say that time is on your side, but it's not on our side.
It's not.
Short amounts of time to do this. Okay.
So here's the things we have to cover. There's just like some random news.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of snack treats we need to get through.
Yep.
There is some Toy Fair talk.
Toy Fair happened.
And then in honor of Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, we are going to do a top five list.
That's right.
Yeah, but
we're going to do it a little bit earlier on than we normally do, so that people who don't want to listen to the toy talk.
Because this episode's for the ladies.
Hey, for you the know, ladies.
For Valentine's. Valentine's Day.
I've been feeling trapped.
You spend it with the ones you love.
Baby.
The Action Features boys.
Come on.
On your podcast.
Ow.
Yeah.
Come on.
So there's going to be a lot of female listeners
Let's
in this
get
episode.
It on.
I can already tell. So we don't want to bore them with toy talk, so we'll push that at the end. Right?
Yeah.
What do we do first, snacks?
Let's do that
what
now.
What episode is this?
33?
Welcome to Action Features episode 33. All right, so
it is 33 now. If not, we'll have to go back and do 32 next week.
That's okay.
Next 2 weeks.
Okay, so what was the last episode? We said in the episode, if anybody sends us snacks, we'll eat them on the air.
That's right.
Whatever you send, we'll eat it on the air.
Tell what we think.
We had two people send us stuff.
One being my mother.
Mike's mom.
My mom, of course. She could not resist passing out food.
She hears the call to arms, and she is ready.
She answered.
With the snacks.
So, these are things that she likes, that she eats on a regular basis.
I'm down with these.
I am too.
I love these.
Welch's fruit and yogurt fruit snacks. They're fruit snacks, strawberry flavored.
They're low fat, so you can eat a ton of them.
They're covered with yogurt.
I love these things.
They're delicious.
Remind me, it wasn't fruit wrinkles, but there was a fruit snack back in the day where they would fall from the tree. I think they were covered in yogurt.
Yeah.
And they'd fall from these trees and the kids would gobble them up.
They're nature's candy. That's called nature's candy.
I can't remember what it was called, though.
Nature's candy.
No,
I
don't. Maybe.
They fell from trees, right?
I thought those were peaches.
They fall from trees?
They fell from trees.
I think it's nature's candy.
Yogurt? They were some, but they were covered in yogurt.
Yogurt covered candies.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But these are great. Thanks, Mike's mom.
They're
great.
The next one is this Fiber One protein bar.
I don't know if I'm going to eat a protein bar right now.
It sounds terrible, but check it out. Coconut almond.
You opened it. Is this one of these?
No, yeah, I ate the other one the other day. I knew this was plenty.
You gotta be kidding me right now.
I'm not kidding. I got hungry. I'm not kidding. I knew we weren't gonna eat two.
So not only. Okay, there were two. Mike's mom obviously sent one for each of us. You went ahead and ate one. And then, before even asking, you opened up this other one and ate half of it.
Which was
obviously mine.
I know.
You made the decision for me that this isn't going to keep.
My mom gave.
This won't keep.
I didn't know.
It's open now.
I opened it just now during the show when we were trying all the snacks. I knew we weren't going to eat two full bars.
All right. I was going to save mine.
Give me a break. You weren't saving yours.
I was going to save it.
Yeah, you weren't.
I'll take a bite. All right.
Worth the try on the show. That's the whole point.
Hey, that's pretty good.
It's good. It's covered in chocolate.
That's pretty good. Coconut almond. Fiber One.
I'm not going to go buy one myself.
I'm not going to do it.
But if somebody says, hey, do you want one of these? Are you hungry? Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Now, we received this package from Mike Lacey.
Mike Lacey.
Mike Lacey sent us a package.
I want to tell about Mike Lacey real quick. Hang on. But I got Fiber One bar in my mouth. Hang on.
I'll
talk about something.
I'll keep talking. Before James gives his life story about Mike Lacey, we received the package last week. We've been dying to open it.
Yeah. It got here Monday. I think your days are confused because you've been sick.
I'm totally off.
Well, it got here Monday.
Off base.
And we've been dying to open this. This is a 4-pound box of snacks. I weighed this. He spent $10 just in shipping. Mike Lacy's a cool dude.
That's a friend.
I've done Masters of the Universe Chronicles podcast episodes with him and Chris Vint before. And he's on the What the Shell podcast, which is a podcast about Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles, probably.
Like really cool, very nice guy. And he heard us say this on the podcast and sent me a message saying, what's the address? I need to send you
he had to
some
do
treats.
It.
So here it is. We haven't even opened it yet.
You stepped up. We've been saving it to open it on air.
And he wrote, he says on the box, it says, James and Mike, care of a Too Smarmy podcast.
That must be us.
That's a callback. That's a callback joke. Good job, Mike.
To last season. That's a callback to last season.
That's a person that's actually been listening to the
show.
He's
been listening. He's paying attention.
He knows. All right, I'm opening it.
And he's a good friend.
Okay, I'm opening it.
What do we got?
Here we go.
There's some bags in the top.
Some bags to protect everything. What if it's all bags?
You don't want it to rattle around in there.
Oh, my goodness gracious me.
I can't see from where I'm. My vantage point. I guess.
I had a feeling this might be in here.
I'm starving, so.
This is also a callback. Because I was talking to Mike about Hostess Cupcakes.
Yeah.
And he said, forget about the Hostess. You got to try the Tasty Cake. I was like, what's a Tasty Cake?
Yeah, I don't know what a Tasty Cake is.
And he said, let me send you something.
I know what Tasty Cake is.
Here they are. Tasty Cakes. Chocolate cupcakes. There's a box of those in here. What else we got?
Okay.
There's more Tasty Cake stuff. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard of these before. So there's chocolate cupcakes.
Where are these
from? I'm saving the bottom one.
Where are these from?
Look at these. Peanut butter candy cakes.
What?
Look at those Tasty Cakes.
You gotta open the candy cakes.
This is the top. Right here. Never even heard of these things. Butterscotch crimpettes.
What?
Open along the top as to not lose the icing.
Open it right now.
What a smart... He sent us a note. He sent us instructions on how to open these.
You know we have to try all these,
open
right?
Open along the top so as to not lose the icing. What a smart guy. Send him the tip. I love butterscotch.
Look, two of these in a
pack.
We'll
split one of those.
We're trying the chocolate cupcake first.
That's all that's in there. So it's all sweets, but it's... Oh, my goodness.
It's a good thing we have these chips here.
Mike, you're a great guy. This is amazing. All right, so this is a
my first time.
Okay. This looks like I got more of the frosting. Is that okay?
It's very moist. Yeah, it's fine. I'm not a big frosting.
This is my first time trying a Tasty Cake. They look like the Hostess ones, but they don't have the little swirly thing on the top.
Mm-mm.
I'm doing it.
Mm.
That's great.
I'm not a chocolate fan, you know.
Yeah, I know you're not.
I could eat two of these.
Mm. I was expecting like some frosting in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's not there.
You don't, I like want it the frosting. It. You don't want the frosting in the middle.
I want the frosting in the middle.
These are moist.
They're very delicious.
Okay, I got it.
These taste like homemade brownies.
All right, we got to spread this out through the episode properly.
Save this one for the end. I love butterscotch.
I do too.
I love butterscotch.
I love some butterscotch. Mm-hmm. You know what else I love? Peanut butter.
You know what else I love? Handwritten notes on instructions on how to eat snacks.
I love it.
That shows you care.
That's real care right there.
Oh my goodness, that's good. Mm. I'm ruining my dinner.
Ruin it, man. It's no big deal. You weren't doing anything special anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's Valentine's.
Nah, you weren't doing anything.
Mm. Mm.
Oh.
Oh, my great. Oh, we're doing another one? I thought you were going to spread this out.
We're doing...
We didn't.
We're waiting for the other ones. I'm eating this now.
All right, so what's this one called?
This is a candy cake.
With K's.
With peanut
they
butter.
Use cakes for, they use K's on everything.
Yeah.
They got rid of the C.
Well, that's how you know it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it goes. The candy cake. Peanut butter.
All right, so what is this thing?
It's like a peanut butter. It's like a short cake that's surrounded, covered with peanut butter,
and then
covered
with
chocolate.
And there's only 90 calories per cake.
That means you can eat like seven.
You can eat a ton of these.
You can eat like seven of these.
Yeah, you can eat this whole box right now.
Don't tempt me.
Oh, that's good.
That is a different sensation.
I like
that.
You know what that tastes like? It kind of tastes like a soft version of that one Girl Scout cookie that's got, like, you know, the chocolate, it's got the cookie wafer, and it's got the peanut butter in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're always changing the Girl Scout cookie names, so I don't know what it's called anymore. But it's like they took the cookie part and replaced it with some shortbread, like some
soft
shortbread.
It's almost refreshing.
Yeah, it's like a little cake
inside.
It's like,
inside. I run a marathon
and
say, hold on to the water and give me some candy cakes if
give
you
me
will.
One of those candy cakes, those peanut butter candy cakes.
Yeah.
Mm.
This'll...
They can put those in cups and, like...
Splash them,
grab
on
and go, splash them on you. You
splash
know?
Them on your face?
Yeah. Like the hot coffee in the Seinfeld episode.
Forgot about that.
Well, that's great.
Okay, fantastic.
Oh, my goodness.
I am pleased as punch.
I'm going as fast as I can. Here.
I'm going to have some of these Tostitos, which we sent to ourselves.
But I have, Lacey and your mom.
I have to have some saltiness.
Those are good people.
They're good.
Wow. That was great. I can't even focus anymore because that food was so good.
What are we going to do?
All right, so let's jump right into this. Let's do the random stuff first. I want to share with you my friend Brendan. Brendan Cool. That is his last name, which is cool.
It is cool?
It is cool.
With a K?
Yeah, with a K.
All right.
Look what's going on today. I was talking to him about I read online at this website.
That should be the episode name. The one with the K.
Oh, there we go. The one with lots of Ks.
The one with the K.
The one with lots of Ks.
Don't make it lots, because...
Okay, the one...
They might think it's that's a Klan reference.
I know what you mean. How about... we'll figure it out later.
Okay.
Figure it out later. So anyway, we were talking about like fan edits of movies, right? And I had looked up that there's some edits of Spider-Man 3.
Okay.
Like some movie edits. And my thoughts on Spider-Man 3 is if you drop Sandman out, you might have a good movie in there.
We don't need that.
But Sandman, the entire thing, doesn't make sense. Making him like Uncle Ben's murderer and all that stuff was just stupid.
You don't need to do that.
Stupid. So I asked him to see if he could find me a copy of Spider-Man 3 Redemption is what it's called. And he ended up finding instead this thing called Spider-Man 3 the No Sandman Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it. And before you ask, I do own copies of Spider-Man 3. So it's okay for me to watch and edit because I own both the movies. I bought them on Blu-ray and regular.
You've spent your money.
I spent my
They've
money.
Got your money.
They've got my money. So it's taken Sandman completely out of the movie. There's like the only mention of him is in the credits. Because he couldn't take him out of the credits.
No, you can't take him out of the credits.
But he takes him completely out of the movie. Changes around a couple of scenes, and it works so much better.
Yeah?
Because it becomes this whole focus on MJ and Peter and Harry and their relationship and, you know, Harry losing it and then, you know, losing his memory and then Peter in the black suit.
Turning into the Green Goblin.
Yeah, you got it. It was really good, though. So if you have a chance to watch Spider-Man 3, the No Sandman edition, check it out, man, because I will replace my regular copy of Spider-Man 3 with this. I won't watch regular Spider-Man 3.
Why would you?
There's no reason to.
I'm going to do some movie edits on my own.
Do it, man. So there was that. Do you have any random things you want to say? We'll take turns
on
that.
Well, Die Hard 5 is coming out this weekend.
Yeah.
I think it looks good. I love John McClane. I don't know if I'm going to see it this weekend.
Yeah.
How many movies can you see?
Yeah. I didn't like the last one. You thought it was okay? I was like...
I liked the last one, but once he was jumped... He jumps on the fighter jet and he's hanging on a... No.
Yeah.
No, you're not doing
John McClane? More like John Poopstain. That movie was a turd.
It wasn't that bad.
Well, it had Kevin Smith in a jet.
Yeah, that was bad. Good. But Kevin Smith said, what are you, down with the Fett?
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
Yeah.
But then you get Bruce Willis saying, oh, actually, I'm more of a Star Wars guy.
Yeah.
That was funny. So whatever, but...
Anyways.
It looks like it's going to be more... Two big things, like, oh, I've jumped from 47 stories up, and I'm going to be okay, the type of thing. And I don't like his son. Yeah. I don't like it. Anytime you, once you start saying, oh, he's going to fight crime with his son. I'm sorry, you've jumped the shark, probably.
Yeah, he stops being, we were just talking about this before we started the show. I think it makes Die Hard so great, it's like a regular guy in a crazy situation, but he mans up and he does this thing. When you add the son onto there, too, it's like they're a team, like a dynamic duo or like a superhero team or something.
Yeah.
I
don't need his son to be a spy or something. I think that's the only... That's the only random thing, probably.
All right.
Look, man, I've been sick.
Okay. Peter Dinklage was just cast in the new X-Men movie.
He's going to be Toad.
No, I don't think so. They haven't said who he's going to be, but I'm going to guess Puck.
I would say Toad from the Uncanny X-Men.
Okay. Well, I don't think so. But maybe we'll save that talk more for the X-Men episode.
Okay.
All right. And you might know who he is by then.
You're probably right. I'm just joking.
Two other more personal type things.
Be careful really how personal you get.
It's not too personal. First of all, we went out this weekend. We went up to Dayton to see Five Year Mission play. And Five Year Mission is a Star Trek tribute band.
Okay.
And it may sound silly, but it's not. They do really good music, And what they do is they're doing a song based on each episode of the original series.
Wow.
They're breaking it down into five albums. That's called 5 years, just like the original Star Trek is a five-year mission.
Yeah.
So the band is called 5 Year Mission, and they're doing five albums with one song based on each episode.
How many albums are they in?
They've done two, and then an EP of Trouble with Tribbles, where they did each band member wrote a version of the Trouble with Tribbles song that they wanted to do.
That's cool.
They performed all of them, and then had people vote on which one they thought was the best Trouble with Tribbles song. And then that version will be on year three.
I like that.
Their songs are really catchy.
I like what this band's doing.
They know how to play music. They're really, and they write funny, cool, catchy songs. My wife probably won't want me to say this, but my wife has listened to it in the car without me being in the car.
Got tricked.
So that'll tell you something. If she's willing to listen to it without me being in the car,
you found out.
It's good. So she had, we'd seen that they were coming, and she was reminding me. She's like, you know, 5 Year Mission is coming near to Dayton. They're playing two shows and all these things. And I said, yeah, I'd seen that.
She reminded you for her.
She reminded me
for her
about it too. Yeah, I mean, she's into music and things like that.
Yeah.
And basically, I don't listen to music for the most part. You know that.
I know that.
I listen mostly just like soundtracks. But they're like the only band that has like people singing that I listen to on a regular basis. And the kids listen to them too, because most of the songs are clean. I think only one or two have maybe a bad word in them. I just cut those out when I put it on. I skip over it or whatever. But Blaze loves them. He loves the band. And so we didn't tell him that we were going. And they were playing at a comic shop in Dayton. They were playing at Bell Book and Comic in Dayton.
That's cool.
And they were playing another show afterwards. I was like, let's go to the comic book one, because then we can go to the comic shop too, and he can meet him and stuff. And so we drove out there. And we got caught in traffic.
Smaller shows are always the best.
Yeah, we didn't tell him what we were doing. We made up something. We said we were doing some photo shoot or something.
Lying to the kids.
You got
to
do it sometimes.
Yeah.
So we drove out there, and I guess it's near like a... We didn't know where it was. We just did the GPS directions. And we got near to Dayton, and there must have been a game letting out at like the Dayton College or Arena. I don't know. So the traffic was horrible. So we had to sit through traffic for a while, and we got to the shop. And I know... I've talked online with one of the guys in the band, Noah... because he's a big He-Man fan, and he kind of introduced me to the band through He-Man and through my Star Trek site and all that stuff. And so we came in, and we got there, and Blaze was like, this isn't a photo shoot place? And we're like, yeah, it's a comic shop. We're taking it to the comic shop. We thought you'd have fun going to a comic shop that's not near town. And he was like, that's cool. That's awesome. So we go in, and they wear Star Trek uniforms and they perform, and they're back towards the back of the shop. And Blaze is kind of looking around, and he's like, this is really cool, going to a different comic shop. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm like, you see those? Like, well, what's going on back there? You see those guys back there? And he was looking, and he's like, that's 5 Year Mission. Dad, that's 5 Year Mission. And I was like, I know, that's what we're here for. They're here, and they're doing songs. And he was like, this is awesome. This is so cool. I get to see my favorite band do music.
This is his first show?
First show. First music show, or whatever. from any kind of thing.
Right.
He's never gone to a music show before. So we went in, and we were looking around, and they were doing some meet-and-greet stuff with fans at that point. And Noah saw me, and Noah was like, hey, you're James. And I was like, yeah, that's me, you know. And so we talked for a bit, and I was telling him that the kids really liked the band and stuff. And they each have their own favorite song. And I told him that, we drove up here, and we got caught in the traffic and all this sort of stuff. And he's like, I hate to say it, but the music part's over. We're doing, like, the fan meet-and-greet thing now. And I was like, oh, man. And he's like, you know what? I bet I can convince them to do another song. And it was just, like, an acoustic set. So he's like, what song do you want to hear? And Blaze is like, well, my favorite's Conscience of the King. And he's like, well, we don't really know that one as well for live. We've done that like three times, and that was it. But there's been a couple people that request that, so we're going to start learning it. And Keaton's favorite is, he just says it's the Bonk Bonk song, but it's called Miri. So his favorite's Miri. And he's like, well, we can do that. So let me go talk to him. And so he went over and talked to him, and they were like, you know what? We have a special request, and so we're going to do another song. And so they did the song just for the kids, which was awesome.
That's cool.
It was awesome. And then, I mean, there are other fans there, too, and they listened to the song.
Sure.
And after that one was over, they were like, you want to hear another one? And so they did, like, another song. They did one of the Trouble with Tribbles songs. And Blaze was just like, you could tell he was on, like, cloud nine. He was loving it. And I mean, Keaton was into it, too, but he doesn't know as much. He's younger. And so afterwards, Blaze, they all signed a picture and gave it to Blaze.
That's great.
He was just like... looking at the picture the whole way home, and he's like, this is the coolest thing ever. I wish more kids in my school knew about this so I could tell them I saw them and all this different stuff. It was awesome. So big ups to 5 Year Mission. If you want to know more about the band, I think it's 5yearmission.net. I'll put a link or something.
Probably .org.
I know it's .net. I think it's .net.
.gov.
It's .not .gov. It's dot... But the guys in the band are awesome. There's Noah, Chris, Fark, Mike, and Patrick. And they're all super nice guys. So they cut up with us for a while, and they were all talking and chit-chatting. It was just really awesome. Great experience. Cool. Great time. Very fun.
Very cool.
Very fun. My last little thing before we get into this top five and the Toy Fair talk is every once in a while, my friend Nick, and your friend Nick, you know Nick, he's like the Kramer of my friends. Every once in a while, he'll just call me out of the blue and tell me like a story.
Oh, I'm stressed.
Yeah. It's just random stuff. So over the weekend, he called me. He's like, hey, man. I got to tell you the story about what I just remember about me with the skateboards when I was a kid. And I'm like, oh, yeah, let me hear it. He's like, well, I had like a little cheap Nash skateboard. And my dad, his dad is from Greece. And so his dad is, you know, he speaks with an accent and all these different things. He said, my dad drove over it and split it in half. Instead of spending the extra $10 to give me a new Nash skateboard, he just stuck another piece of wood underneath it to put it back together again. And I took the two halves and then like screwed this big chunk of wood underneath it to make it skateboard again. He's like, I tried it. That thing wasn't going anywhere. It was a piece of crap. He's like, so I took it home and in my best little kid cursive, I wrote Tony Hawk on it. Sold it to another kid as Tony Hawk skateboard that he broke and autographed.
Wow.
He gave to me. So I sold it to that kid to get the money to go buy another skateboard.
Talking about making lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah. So he sells that broken board with the Tony Hawk scribbled on it by a kid as a autographed Tony Hawk skateboard. He takes the money and goes and buys a Veriflex skateboard. Mm-hmm. So later on down the road, he's got this Veriflex skateboard. He got it from Service Merchandise. And he spends another time at Service Merchandise, a store back from when we were kids,
yeah.
In case you're younger.
Yeah.
And he sees some Ninja Turtles toys. This is when the Ninja Turtles start taking off and really are getting popular. And the movie's out at this point. He's like, man, I wish I had some money for some Ninja Turtles. How's he going to get money? He takes the Veriflex board to a girl in the neighborhood, tells her it's a prop from the Ninja Turtles movie that was used in the juvenile skateboarding scenes where the juvenile delinquents are all hanging out. The girl buys it, and he takes the money and buys Ninja Turtles with it. That was the story.
Don't try this at home, kids. It's dishonest.
So I'm so hopeful that there's two people out there that have these skateboards in glass cases, one that thinks it's an autographed Tony Hawk board, and the other one that thinks it's a prop from the Ninja Turtles movie.
I would love that.
And they're listening to the show, and they're polishing their case right now.
Yep.
And they're hearing it, and they're going, it's not real? And so now it's
just
all
shattered.
Full circle. We just shattered their dreams.
Shattered.
So I thought that was very funny. So every once in a while, I'm going to write down these random Nick stories and just tell them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, some of them are just so golden, I just crack up. There's some from his restaurant that are just fantastic.
I have some random stories from my Uncle Nick, but
yeah,
we can't tell them on
the
show.
We can't tell those are not kid appropriate.
Those are not.
And that's it, man. Right. So now we can get into our top five.
Oh, our top five. It's Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's.
So
so we decided to do our top five favorite couples in pop culture. You know, like
favorite
movies, TV.
Famous couples.
Yeah. Movies,
and
TV.
They could be fictional or real.
I forgot to tell you this, but I mean in like an actual romantic couple.
Hmm.
Not like Han and Chewie.
Hmm, okay.
Did I mess you up?
Nope.
Well, just throw it in there anyway.
No, I have my...
Throw it in there anyway. Hmm. You know? Or they should have been romantic couples. Those kind of things. Romance is an angle.
Hmm.
Okay, well, I have some honorable mentions again. But let's do the list
save
first.
Them. Save them. Do
I'll
the
save
list.
Them in case they're on yours.
You want to go first or shall I?
It's up to you. Oh, no, you go first. You go first.
Okay. Number five. Bennifer.
That's not a fictional couple.
Ben Affleck and J-Lo.
Really? Right now?
Number five.
Oh my goodness. This is not what I expected.
Nope. Listen, I gotta tell you, the town was great.
They're not fictional. They were a real couple.
I thought that we said fictional or real.
I meant just fictional. That's why I said pop culture.
Mm. Pop culture includes real people.
I don't know if it does.
It does. Pop means
oh,
popular.
Boy. All right, mine.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Very well.
Very well.
All right, we'll get into that at one point. That's our favorite running bit of all time. My number five is Egon and Janine.
That's great.
I always liked that as a kid, that Janine like pined for him, and Egon was kind of just like separated and, you know, oh, blah, blah. But every once in a while, like on the cartoon, you'd see him date.
Yeah.
Of course, this all changed with Ghostbusters 2,
sure.
When Egon and Lewis got together. But I remember one episode in particular I think it was called Ragnarok and Roll, I think it was the name of the episode. And they think it's the end of the world, the Ghostbusters do, and they're on a building or whatever. And they're each kind of saying goodbye to each other, the four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Egon says, Janine. And that's all he says. And as a kid, even as a kid, I thought, wow, that's a really cool moment for a cartoon. That's you know, cool. That's a cool moment. So Egon and Janine, number five.
They both visually are similar.
Yeah.
With the glasses and everything. Number four, Luke and Leia from Star World.
They're a brother and sister.
What?
That's not a couple.
What do you mean? I saw them kiss.
Oh, you should need to watch Jedi.
Oh.
Did you not watch Jedi?
Wait a second.
Oh,
wait a second.
Boy.
They have to be romantic?
Yeah, it has to be a romantic couple.
This ruins my whole list.
Oh, no.
I had Luke and Leia.
Well, you had Bennifer.
He-Man and She-Ra.
Oh, no.
Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, no.
Hall and Oates.
Hall and Oates. Please tell me you have another list. I hope you have another list.
I'm just kidding. That's my fake list. Okay. That's my fake list.
That's good.
I did start off with Bennifer, though, on my real list, so yeah. I could throw you
so
off
you
the
kept
scent.
Yeah, so you kept it.
But Bennifer was really on my list.
All right, well.
Did you laugh at what I did?
I laughed.
Luke and Leia from Star World.
From a Star World.
They were my favorite couple as a kid.
Yeah. Then you found out.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Actually, I did. Jedi was the first movie I saw. And then it was weird for me when they kissed.
Yeah. What are you doing over there?
They did it like twice.
Yeah.
I thought, what are you doing? George Lucas. Oh, yeah, I had the whole story planned the whole time. Yeah. No, you didn't,
because you wouldn't have had them kissing all the
you
time.
You had to give them a big, long kiss.
Yeah, what's going on with those kisses?
In Empire.
Yeah. Gross.
Okay, so my real number four is Jim and Pam from The Office.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Who wasn't following that story
exactly.
for, like, six years?
I was just about to say that Janine and Egon was like a drama for me as a kid, but that's like the one that you wanted to see happen. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Same with the Janine and Egon. Like, was as a kid, you were like, oh, are they ever going to be really a couple? And as an adult, that was the one I remember a lot.
Yeah, you kind of...
Are they going to be a couple? Are they not going to be a couple?
You knew that they had to be at some point, but...
When's it going
to
happen?
There were so many ups and downs.
I was so
that.
Invested in that one.
Yeah.
Like, I was really just like...
I was too.
Couldn't wait for it to happen. Good pick, man.
Crying.
Good pick.
Crying at The Office.
Yeah. Number four for me... is Snake Eyes and Scarlet from the G.I. Joe comic run.
Not the cartoon,
because they didn't let Snake Eyes and Scarlet in the cartoon.
Not the live-action film.
Yeah, they had Scarlet and Duke, and in the live-action film, they have Scarlet and Ripcord.
And Johansson. Scarlet and Johansson
get
together
I
on...
I get it. Yeah, I get it. Okay. But in the comic, they really... That was a focal point. That was the relationship in the book. It was Scarlet and Snake Eyes, and a lot of what happens to Snake Eyes is tied into what happens to Scarlet, and it was great. As a kid, I loved it.
I
loved it.
I like that Snake Eyes can
be
involved. He doesn't need a tongue.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a tongue to have a girlfriend.
Yeah, you don't have... I mean, it just showed that, you know, here's Scarlet and she has Snake Eyes. His face didn't matter.
It helps if you do, but you don't have to have that.
All right, so there was my number four. What is your number three?
My number three is... I don't know why this is number three, but Indian Marion.
That is all my honorable mentions.
Okay. Didn't even make your list.
I will tell you why it's on my own.
Okay.
Well, after you say why you think it's good.
Indian Marion. Of all the girls that Indy courted over the three films, Marion was the one that seemed real. He had a history with her prior to the film. It wasn't just a fling. They had real care for each other. And if you want to take Crystal Skull into account...
That's where it falls apart for me.
So that's why it's not on your...
That's why it's not on the list. I kept thinking, like, dude, I gotta put Indy and Marion on here just for Return of the... Raiders of the Lost Ark.
But the concept of it,
mm-hmm.
you weren't unhappy with when they announced it. It was like, it made sense that they would be back together, but...
when they first started talking about the movie, we were super stoked
I was excited
back.
About it, it didn't turn out well in the film. It was just flat. It was very flat.
It was so
flat
and very cold and just like... It made me... Crystal Skull changed a lot of things for me with Indy.
Yeah.
And so it's just... I couldn't put it on there just because of that. It's not, I would say it's like number six just based on Raiders of the Lost Ark alone.
Yeah.
You know, taking into account Crystal Skull. But I can't put it above these other five just because Crystal Skull.
I'm just trying to spice up my list, you know.
No, I totally think it's right.
I have others that I think are more iconic.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Well, number three for me is Captain Kirk. And Edith Keeler from City on the Edge of Forever.
Hmm.
That is the best episode of Star Trek, in my opinion. And it's all about Kirk, you know, and he falls in love with this woman, and you know, but he has to let her die. And it's just like the pain that Kirk has to go through this whole episode. And the chemistry that those two have, William Shatner and Joan Collins in that episode, it's real, and it feels really good, like seeing them together in that episode, and then what Kirk has to do, you know, at the end of the episode is gut wrenching, you know, over the whole thing.
I don't know.
So just an hour long, it's like amazing.
I know I've seen that episode, but I can't think.
I'm not going to spoil it. I can spoil it. The show is 45 years old.
Oh wait, I haven't seen it.
That's okay.
Oh.
Well, what happens in the episode is McCoy gets accidentally overdosed with his drug, goes to the Guardian of Forever, which is this thing that shows time, and he changes something in time.
Can I just borrow it?
You can borrow it, yeah. I won't ruin the whole thing.
I have a copy, but none of my copies are playing.
I'll let you borrow it. I won't ruin the end for you then,
okay.
Because then Kirk and Spock have to come back through time and figure out what happened. And
that's a battle to the
girl,
death.
Edith Keeler. They don't have to battle to the death.
I think they do.
But it's the best episode of Star Trek. It's fantastic. And Edith Keeler and Kirk, there's tons of women with Kirk, but this is the love. That's the one he loves. You know, so that's my number three.
That's good.
I couldn't put it higher just because it's only one little confined episode.
Sure.
Sure.
And he's had a lot of women.
Had a lot of women, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Okay, my number two is Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
In Bird on a Wire?
Not in any film.
Oh.
In real life. They started,
Is that Bird on a Wire? Is that one of the ones they were on together?
They might have been in that. They were in Overboard.
Overboard, yeah.
They were in that.
Yeah.
Since 1983, they've been together.
Yeah.
That's fictional.
That's
astounding for a Hollywood.
They're not married either.
For a Hollywood couple, they just said
split up, did they?
No, they didn't.
Okay, good.
They just said,
"This works.
Let's leave well enough alone.
Yeah,
we've got this going."
Her name? Thinks of him as her father too.
Yeah,
whatever her name is.
Kate Hawn Jr.
Yeah, Kate something. I think her name is
Goldie Hawn Jr. I think is her name.
Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg Hahn. Whoopi Goldberg Han Solo.
Yeah,
that's it. Yep.
Han Solo. But
that's good.
Go Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. Every time I think of a successful couple, I think of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Every time you think of a successful couple?
Every time. Every time it gets brought up, I think, why couldn't more people be like Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell?
Goldie.
I'll tell you what.
I'm still enjoying these yogurt snacks, I gotta tell you.
Oh, you still have some?
Well, after we finish this, we need to break open that.
Oh, we will.
Before we get into the toy for
Yeah, we're gonna do that.
All right. Number two for me, Han and Leia. Now, Han and Leia...
That's perfect.
It's great. Especially in Empire, it's great.
Yeah.
The only thing that didn't put it into number one spot for me is that I don't know if it really flourishes in Return of the Jedi. It doesn't seem like it's really...
It doesn't flourish, no, but Leia...
It works so well in Empire.
Yeah, because there was tension.
Yeah.
And you didn't know.
Yeah.
And after... It's like with Jim and Pam.
Yeah.
Who cares now? Now
exactly.
That they got married, who
that's
cares?
The thing. Yeah. It's,
so in fiction,
yeah.
That's how it works. The
yeah.
tension is what draws you in. So in Jedi, she comes, she rescues him.
Yeah.
Someone who loves you very much. And he's like, yeah, oh, okay.
So and then she does the I know after he.
And she kisses him
you,
after he's
I
been
know.
In that carbonite
yeah.
block
it's
forever.
Be
it's going to be gross.
It's going to be real bad. You talk about morning breath, that's like an entire year of morning breath.
Year's breath.
Just trapped in there.
Plus the whatever the however the carbonite
it's got to be inside of his throat.
Oh, it tastes
it's
got
to be all up in there.
Oh.
It's gross. Yeah, so that's what kept it from my number one spot.
Yeah.
Is just, it's worked so well in Empire, and it doesn't quite work as well in Jedi. And I don't know how much further that relationship would go before it would be, okay, this is stale. I mean, we all know the Expanded Universe, they have kids
yeah,
and all that
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
It's a lot and a lot and a lot, but who cares about the Expanded Universe, really?
It's a great love. That's
yeah.
an iconic couple.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, I think when people think of...
Sci-fi couples,
yeah.
Hanaway is the top.
Just fictional. Star
yeah.
Wars is just transcends Star World.
Star World is outside of our world.
Transcends every
yeah. It transcends all
it seems
Star Worlds.
To. Everybody loves it.
Okay, what's your number one?
My number one. Yo, Adrian, Rocky and Adrian.
Oh, that's great. That's a great pick.
Six movies of love.
Yeah.
She's dead. She's dead in number six.
Yeah.
But,
spoiler warning.
But you know what?
Still an integral character in six.
Exactly, and he's still hanging on. Even when this
yeah.
nice-looking young lady
Good
comes
job.
Into his life,
yeah.
and he's just like, hey, you know my wife, you know, she's dead, but she ain't really dead, you know?
Yeah.
What other couple, I mean, what other
yeah.
movie couple, I
yeah,
mean, he
it,
does
it
everything, like...
He goes and visits where they were at and things like that in the movie. It's just like, that was really
I mean,
kind of, like, heartbreaking watching
yeah,
him
it was,
go that, through all that, you know?
Throughout every film, I
yeah.
mean, he was just completely... two even, people who don't really match up really filling gaps, you know, and...
Even Rocky V, which Rocky V is bad.
Rocky V is bad.
The Rocky and Adrian thing is fine in it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong
with it.
The problem with Rocky V is Tommy Gunn.
Tommy Gunn is the problem. My number one is Joker and Harley.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even think about that. I had Batman and Catwoman.
Joker and Harley is great. Bobby was like, you're not going to put... When I was telling Bobby my list, she's like, you're not going to put Batman and Catwoman? I was like, I don't really like the Batman Catwoman thing, other than Batman Returns. I think it works really well in there.
And Batman Returns.
And Batman Hush, I think it worked okay. But Joker Harley works because it's so different and quirky, and he really doesn't care that much for her.
He doesn't.
And the Harley character, I mean, created for the show, and then it's gone into other things just because it's such an interesting character, and the dynamic between them works so well, especially in the animated show as opposed to in the comics even. I loved it. I loved Joker Harley. Anytime Joker Harley was on Batman Animated Series, it was great.
I loved it, too. I love it, too. And there's an episode, I think, where Harley, like, ditches him or whatever, and Joker actually gets affected by it.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
He's actually a little bit sad.
He finds replacements and things like that, but then when he comes back, it's just kind of back to normal.
He tries to find replacements, but he
can't do it.
So even though he's a cold-hearted bee, you know, there's for some reason it works there.
Exactly.
That's a good pick.
I love that relationship. I always enjoyed it every time it was on. My honorable mentions were, let's see here, Indy and Marion, and Zach and Kelly from Save the Bell.
Mm.
Zach and Kelly.
Zach and Kelly.
Zach and Kelly.
I didn't think about that, but yeah.
Bobby's like, you're not going to put Slater and Jesse? I'm like, no way. It's all about Zach and Kelly.
Yeah, Slater and Jesse
take
back seat.
Yeah, it's Zach and Kelly all the way.
My honorable mentions will be James Bond and Tracy.
I told Bobby, I said, I'll bet that... That Mike mentions James Bond. I wonder who he's going to pick, though.
You know, he gets one in every, at least one in every film.
Yeah.
But she's the only one he ever married.
Yeah.
I would say that Vesper Lynd from Casino Royale had a really strong relationship. But that's, you know, as portrayed by the film.
Yeah.
And On Majesty's Secret Service came out in 1969, I think, in 70. So... Not really. Films weren't done the same way, so. But that's the only one that he married. Kevin and Winnie from Wonder Years.
That's a good one.
I've been watching the Wonder Years a lot lately.
That's a good one.
Batman and Catwoman was on there. Charles Bronson and Jill Ireland.
Oh yeah,
that's a real life couple. But they were together for a really long time. He would always bring her on sets.
Yeah,
like she would just come with him to work, and when he was off set, he wasn't traipsing around the town or whatever. He would just like they would go spend time together. And you have one of their checks, don't you?
You have
a canceled check.
I have a canceled check from Jill Ireland Bronson.
And Charles Bronson. Yeah. So whatever. And he made sure that she got parts in all of his...
Which is great.
Almost all of his films.
Yeah.
Jill Ireland shows up, so that's cool. And the number one couple of all time has got to be Romeo and Juliet.
Who cares, right?
Who cares? But you're talking about...
What is this, the Shakespeare podcast?
You're talking about a story that...
What is this, English class? Man, what a downer.
You're talking about a story that has affected all of literature for, like, centuries.
Yeah, affected my butt.
Anyway. That was a good list.
All right, let's bust over the... Okay, so...
I was excited about my fake list.
Your fake list is funny.
And you screwed me up at the beginning when you said, now...
I'm sorry.
I should have told you.
I'm sorry, you should have warned me when you're going to tell a joke next
time. I didn't know you were going to say, now you know that these are romantic.
Oh, these are two-packs.
Oh, man, all of those are two-packs, all
that's
the
fantastic.
Snacks.
Okay, so he says to open along the top so you don't lose the icing. I don't really know how I'm going to do that. I guess I could just do this.
Pull it apart.
All right, so...
Split it down, there you go,
this
like
is it.
That.
It's perfect.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm not touching this. As you can see, the wrapping is still on that one. All right, so in case you aren't into Action Features Toy Talk, now is the time where you can turn off the episode. And just enjoy it for what it was.
Shut it down.
Yeah. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.
All right. Now for the rest of you, now that we got rid of the losers.
For the rest of the toy geeks out there like us, this is your podcast now. I haven't tried it yet.
It's very tasty.
It is.
I forgot what flavor it was when you handed it to me, so I was surprised.
It was butterscotch?
Yeah.
When it showed up? Okay, so these are butterscotch crimpets. Crimpets with a K.
It's tasty.
Just give us a second here, will you?
These won't last long.
All right. You think about what you like to toy for while you eat these. These won't last long at all.
No, they won't last long.
It's
tell you what else is going to happen.
What's that?
These won't last long.
That's not anything else. That's the same thing you just said.
Oh. That sounded a lot like the last one.
That sounded just like the last one.
Okay.
I'm not even close. I still got another couple bites left.
Oh, shoot.
Just hang on, people. I told you, just think about what you like to toy for a second, okay?
You think about it.
Yeah. Man.
I'm busy.
Push you over there. I'll start taking small bites just to teach them a lesson.
Thanks, Mike Lacy.
Man, Mike Lacy. What a guy.
Came through him.
He saved the day, pretty much.
Yeah.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I love butterscotch. You know what I like?
Those are the best.
I like Werther's Original candies.
Those are good.
People say, oh, that's an old person candy. You know, fine, then I'm old. Because I love a Werther's Original.
All people are wise.
That's right.
They know what snacks to pick.
And their taste buds are at the peak.
Aren't there some Werther Originals that have like a soft center?
Yeah, I think
so. Those are good, too.
Those are good.
All right, so Mike Lacy is basically the best friend the show has ever had.
The snack king.
Yeah.
The treat king. That's what they call him.
Treat king. Man, that was great. I don't know where we're going anymore. Oh, Toy Fair Talk. Toy Fair. All right, you're going to go by company?
Yeah, that's true.
How you going to do it?
I don't care.
All right.
Just start at the top of your list.
Okay. Now I got this fruit and yogurt snack in my mouth. Okay, I'm going to start with Mattel. Because you know there's going to be some rant involved.
Okay.
Right?
We're at 41 minutes, just so you know.
It's going to be okay. They're going to be okay. It's going to be an hour episode. They're going to be all right.
Okay.
There's a Filmation sub. They've just added this on. I'm going to talk about the MOTU reveals first. They've just added on a Filmation sub that you can buy. It's six figures, and it's all Filmation characters from the old He-Man and She-Ra cartoons, right? And that's great.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a couple problems here, though. Last year, when they were trying to sell the subs, they were talking about how horrible the line was doing, how, oh, we're barely going to make it, and you got to buy the sub, we're not going to be able to do anything. Oh, there's no way we're going to be able to pull it off. You guys really got to buy the sub, and all this different stuff. Yet, they have another six-figure sub they're adding on. I thought this line was in dire straits. And I'm not complaining. It's great that they're doing those figures.
IMTV.
Yeah, dire straits. I just don't think that you can say it's in such trouble and then have this other six-figure line that's going to be added on.
Well, this has been a trend with them, hasn't it?
Oh, it's scare tactics to sell stuff all the time.
Poor mouthing and scare tactics. And then
that's what they do to sell stuff.
Yeah.
So there was that. And it just so happens that the next month, on March 15th, the first regular release Filmation figure goes on sale. It's Fang Man. And when they sold the subs for this year, they'd said that, oh, there's going to be some figures that we won't have any stock for day of sales. So you better buy the sub, or you might not be able to get a figure. So it just so happens that the first figure that happens with is Fang Man, the Filmation character, that they're not going to produce any stock for day of. They're like, we're not going to have him for day of. It just seems like a little bit too much of a coincidence that at the same time you're trying to sell a Filmation sub to people, that the first Filmation figure, you can't even buy it off the site. Oh, guess you should have had the sub. Maybe you should think about buying the Filmation sub if you don't want this to happen to you with your other Filmation figures.
Mm.
So it kind of reads to me like, I mean, they do fake sellouts all the time where they'll say something sold out and they still have plenty of stock just to do hype.
Right.
And then they'll put it back on again and it'll sell out again and then it'll pee back on again. Like with the Mattel, the 12-inch Superman, we talked about this before. Those were on the site like four times listed as sold out.
Yeah.
And now there's tons of them across Ollie's. Every Ollie's has got tons and tons of these things. I would not put it past them, and I'm not saying they're doing this, but I wouldn't have put it past them to have just held off putting Fang Man on the site and just say, you know what, let's not put him on. Let's not put on the day of stock. Let's say he wasn't available. Help that motivate people to buy the Filmation sub. 6 months down the line, once we've already sold it, we then put him in stock as customer service stock, which they put in a lot, and then sell the rest that way. Then we're getting the hype over him being up for the first time. We get everybody to buy the Filmation sub because they're scared they're going to miss out. Because I see a ton of people saying, oh, I guess I'm going to buy the Filmation sub. I wasn't going to buy it, but now I can't get Fang Man, so I might as well buy the Filmation sub. I could totally see them doing that. They're that dishonest now, it feels like, about things that I don't have any trust for that company anymore.
Right.
So I could totally see them doing that.
Fang Man's not getting me to buy.
No. It's not getting me to buy anything from them.
No. Nope.
I'm not going to do it. Castle Grayskull was the other thing I want to talk about.
It's tiny.
It's tiny.
Castle Small Skull.
Cottage Grayskull.
Gray Small.
So, hey, that's pretty good. Castle Grayskull.
You can use it.
Hassle Grayskull, because it's a hassle. It's a hassle.
I'll let you use it.
Let's combine them. It's Hassle Grayskull.
All right, we both get credit.
Okay, so they sold Castle Grayskull to people, saying, you know, we don't have the money to build a prototype, but here's the specs. Here's this foam model. Here's what it's going to be like. Here's the blueprints. It's going to be this size. Yada, 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 right?
I mean, you don't have money to build a prototype.
Exactly. They wouldn't even put up the money to do a prototype until they had the guaranteed amount of pre-orders.
I could take $20 to Michael's Crafts right now and buy a bulk of clay dough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know
that's not how they make it. I know exactly. I'm simplifying things,
this
but...
gives them an out.
Yeah.
So now the prototype is shown, and it's beautiful. It's a great sculpt by the Four Horsemen. It's great paint by the Four Horsemen, but it's much smaller than what they had sold. Both the specs and from the comparing it to the foam prototype. And Toy Guru's even come out and said, it is smaller. This is as big as we could do it for $250. Okay, wait a second.
Oh.
You're the one that made the price. You're the one that made the specs. Why is it now that we're getting to prototype stage that it won't work for $250? You're the one that made that price and made those specs.
Have they sold subs already for...
They pre-ordered it. Yeah, they've sold a ton of them on pre-order.
Okay.
Enough to justify the production.
Okay.
And then now they've got the pre-order back up again after the show...
And so now the people who were told that they were getting one thing are now not getting that thing, but they've already paid for it.
No money has changed hands.
Okay.
They have their credit card info, and you were supposed to not be able to cancel. But I think it got enough backlash, and they knew that when they showed this thing that the size was smaller, that they had to say, you know what, we're going to let you do cancellations.
No.
Which is good. That's the right move.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you're going to do something that's not what you said it was, that's the right move. Two other things on top of that, though. They put it back up for pre-order now. It's 10% more than it was before, so now it's $275. Even after people have been shown that, hey, you know, we're kind of disappointed in the size of this. A lot of people are like, oh, well, the paint's fantastic. Keep in mind, that's a hand-painted prototype. So the production version probably is not going to look quite that nice if that's what you're basing your buying on. And I'm not telling anybody to cancel. If you're happy with it, be happy with it. Go ahead and get it.
Yeah.
So they put it back up, and it's $275, but they don't have any of the pictures on the pre-order, and they have the same specs and the same blueprint on the pre-order, which is dishonest.
Okay.
Now you know those things aren't true. Now you know they're not going to be like that, but you're going to go ahead and keep selling it, and you're going to sell it for more than you sold it for before.
Wow.
Not cool.
Not cool.
One last thing on this, and I promise we'll move on to something else. All right. So on the original Castle Grayskull, there was a sticker in the bottom of a dungeon with these creatures coming out of it.
Yeah.
Like their hands were up on top. You remember it.
I remember it.
Well, instead of doing that as a sticker, the Four Horsemen sculpted it as a fully sculpted door
that's
with
cool.
all these hands and stuff coming out. And they showed it on MTV Geek before the show. It looks really cool. And everybody's like, that is freaking cool. That's really neat looking. Well, when they showed it at Toy Fair, it was gone. It wasn't in there. And Scott was saying, well, you know, this may not be final. We may have to pull some things back. I know that something erroneously made it out, the dungeon door, that was never scheduled to be included. Sometimes the Four Horsemen do extra things that we don't ask for. And it really shouldn't have been shown, but it doesn't come with the castle. But it wasn't cut because we never said it was included. So he's shifting the blame onto the Four Horsemen, which I automatically don't like.
Yeah.
Some guy, I don't remember what the guy's name is, but somebody looked at the blueprints that they have for sale, that they were using to sell everything, and he goes, hey, wait a second. If it was never scheduled to be included, why is it on the blueprint? It's plain as day, a three-dimensional door with the hands coming out of it.
Oh, snap.
So it's on the blueprint. So he flat out lied and said it wasn't ever scheduled to be included when it was. It was on the blueprint. So he's confronted on that and said, it's on the blueprint. You said it was never scheduled to be included. His reply is, that's a sticker on the blueprint. You don't put three-dimensional sculpted things, you don't make that kind of drawing on a blueprint for a flat sticker, unless it's a really puffy sticker. You know, that's,
oh,
I mean,
I like puffy stickers.
It's an inflatable sticker.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous lie. If anybody is buying this still, it's ridiculous. I mean, the guy is lying. I mean, that's his job. He's got to sell the stuff. But it's not cool to just tell lies, you know, and just blatantly lie about something. That nobody can tell me that's not a lie. You can't look at that blueprint, look at the sculpted thing, and say, that's a sticker, and buy that. That's not cool. If you want to be upfront and honest, that's fine. Just say that, you know, it costs too much, and we have to make a certain amount of money on these, so we can't afford to include it because it has too many paid apps. That's the breaks. If you want to say that, that's fine. Then you're being honest. Okay, fine. I'm not happy with it, but that's fine. You're being honest. But don't lie. Don't lie to cover something up.
You don't have to lie about it.
You don't have to lie about it. We're all adults. We know how the business works. If it's too expensive to include, it's too expensive to include.
Yeah.
But don't lie and say it was a decal on the thing to cover up your other lie. So that's it for my rant on the MOTU stuff. I'm sorry if we've lost
people.
It's
just silly.
Straight
up silly.
And again, if you're happy with Castle Grayskull, that's awesome. I'm happy you're getting it. That's cool for you. But I just don't think it's right for a company to sell one thing and to deliver another. It's the right move to accept returns. and or cancellations. That's the right move. The whole decal great thing though is ridiculous. Don't lie. All right. One other thing from Mattel, the 66 Batman line.
Oh yeah,
it's cool.
It's cool.
I'm glad it's happening. I think they need to look a little better though.
The picture you sent me looked okay.
It looks pretty good.
But my phone is like, you know, it's like an inch by two inches.
His something. Arms, I feel like the Batman's arms are a little skinny. It felt a little skinny to me.
It might be.
And the cape is really bad. But again, this is just prototypes. I wish they wouldn't have done that torso joint. I think it's totally useless. It breaks up the sculpt.
I think most of the time a torso joint is...
You don't need it.
You could just skip it.
Especially with these where it should just really look like a nice sculpted 60s Batman.
Right.
So I think that it's great that they're doing line. It's great that it's in retail stores. I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
great
that's
move
good.
From Mattel
that's
that they're cool. taking a chance. It's great that they're doing an in-scale Batmobile. That's crazy talk from Mattel to do an in-scale 6-inch Batmobile, like a vehicle for 6-inch figures.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm surprised they didn't do 3 3/4.
I am too, but...
But, I
mean, you
know, it's
cool.
I'm not,
the
I'm not
the
complaining
nowadays.
About it. Yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm just... Well, I am, but I'm just saying.
I think the Robin looks poor. He's my least favorite of the bunch.
Oh, I didn't see
He's got
that.
Really lanky arms. He's only available in a 2-pack with Batman. He's got the same weird kind of cape thing that looks like it's cut out of felt or something. It's real thick and just looks odd. I saw a picture of Penguin standing next to Batman, and Penguin looks like he's taller than Batman, maybe.
That's not good. I hope that's not final. I hope that's not accurate.
I hope that picture was bad or something. But, you know, kudos to them for doing that line.
Yeah.
So
it's been a long time in the making.
Yeah. A lot of 60s Batman stuff at Toy Fair.
Really?
There's that NECA 18-inch, too, which I think looks amazing.
That looks great.
NECA really had some great stuff at the
Let's
show.
Let's do NECA.
Let's do NECA. What you got from NECA?
Lone Ranger 3 3/4 figures and 7-inch figures, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think... They have to see this coming. This movie is not going to be the knockout of the park success that they always think these movies are going to be. That's just my prediction. I could be wrong, and it could be the next Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't know. I don't think so. But anyway, you get some cool cowboy figures in that scale, which the market is lacking. If you do any custom figures, like there's a lot of stuff you could do with them. It's cool. And NECA's doing breaking into a new
action features.
There was something else they were doing through the quarters too, but I don't remember what it was. I think it's like a video game license or something. I don't know. I don't pay attention to those.
I don't either.
I totally agree, though, that they're going to be great bases for stuff. Just a cool cowboy and
they look cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they look like they're really... NECA is...
Man, they were the best at the show, I think. The 18-inch Adam West Batman was perfect. I think the 18-inch Keaton Batman was great.
Looks great.
I think it's so great they're doing those. And when they announced the Adam West Batman, I think they sent out a tweet that said something like, looks like we got to show the big boys how it's done again. And they showed their Batman after the Mattel Batman was shown. Which is cool, man.
Yeah.
NECA, throw down the gauntlet,
man.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You do what you got to do.
Step up.
It's not the first time where they've told another company where it's at. Like, look, we're doing this, and it's going to be great. You know, and having confidence in what you're doing, that's why their lines are in stores.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, not too scared to just only put them on a website or something like that. You know, they're like, no, we have faith in our product. We think it's good. We're putting it in a store.
Yeah.
You know, and they sell it, and they get it out there. That's awesome. There was tons of stuff they showed that I thought was cool. The Ed 209 from RoboCop.
Yeah.
The Kenner Predators.
The Predators look really cool.
Those are so cool looking. Throwbacks to the old Kenner line. And that's something like a fanboy run line would do. Mm-hmm. Like the Night Glow RoboCop.
Yeah, people who remember that stuff and cared about it and are influenced by original. They're not just guys sitting around talking about what's the best way to make a buck.
Yeah, they're doing something that they think is cool because they grew up on that stuff too.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool. I think it's awesome they're doing that. What do you got next?
Next company?
I'm done with NECA. I think NECA was the best in show. I can just keep saying that.
I agree. I wrote down, I saw the Diamond Select Universal Monsters look pretty cool.
I mean,
I'm not going to buy any of this stuff probably, but they just looked nice.
They're adding more articulation to them too, which is good.
I would hope so, because the whole lower half didn't have any articulation.
I think their new creature figure has more articulation than the first go around with you.
Okay, that's good.
They're also expanding the Munsters line. I think they're doing like an Uncle Gilbert. Oh. And they showed their Star Treks, which they have the articulation in the lower legs. Like from
That's
the hip
weird.
Waist down, it's like they have switch out legs. Like one's crouching and one's standing. I don't know. I'm not happy with their direction they're taking Star Trek. I wish they'd do them more like their Marvel Selects that have articulation and stuff. And just like cool bases and things. I don't know why they pulled back on the articulation. I don't think that. Star Trek didn't have much at the show, which I was really disappointed by. Hasbro has Star Trek.
I think
they did was Creo. Creo? Come on, Hasbro. You can't do a line based on the movie? That's not like a Lego set?
Are they not going to do something?
I guess not. It's too late now. The movie comes out in May, and this is Toy Fair.
Oh, that's right.
That's all there is to it. Yeah, so we're going to get Creos. That's
surprising.
It. Yeah, it's disappointing.
It is disappointing.
It's very disappointing.
Because I think they could have done...
They could have done a cool 3 3/4 line.
A much better job than...
The Playmates had done Playmates. With the last one. Yeah.
And those were fun, but... what do you have?
Playmates show Bebop and Rocksteady for the Turtles classics line. Those look great.
They're cool.
I didn't even buy the first wave of Turtles. Mm-hmm. I bought the Raphael, and that was it. Because I thought they were a little too big to make anything else in scale with them, and I wasn't sure if they would even keep expanding that line. The Bebop and Rocksteady look great. They look like they're about the same height as the Turtles, maybe just a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
I think it should be a lot bigger.
They should be.
But what can you do?
The original figures weren't that much bigger.
Yeah, they weren't. I guess you're thinking more of the toy line than that's that. But
right.
I always think of the Turtles as being small.
Yeah.
And little guys. But still awesome. Awesome that they're taking it in that direction. That they went Bebop and Rocksteady first. That's cool. Instead of just going right to Shredder, everybody would think that they're going to do Shredder and Splinter next.
Yeah.
But instead they do something that we haven't had redone since the original line. Yeah. You know, that's cool.
I think it's cool.
All right, so there's that.
You know what else I think is cool?
What's that?
Something that's never going to happen. Hasbro announced Jurassic Park. They still have the Jurassic Park license, and they're still going to do something with it. But
there's a new movie coming next year.
What?
There's a Jurassic Park 4 coming next year, I think it is.
I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, there's Jurassic Park 4 coming next year.
That's crazy.
So I think that's why they're talking about it.
Well, they were talking about doing the G.I. Joe style line. It wouldn't be based on anything except, you know, their own ideas of dinosaur hunters. That sounds great to me.
It was a cool looking line.
And I was they showed pictures, they had prototypes, and I was very excited for it.
They reused G.I. Joe bodies and stuff.
It never happened.
So, yeah, it never happened.
So
maybe that'll come out now.
So maybe that'll happen.
Speaking of Hasbro, they showed all the rest of the 6-inch Star Wars wave, and they announced Boba Fett with Han Carbonite as the San Diego exclusive. I can't wait for the 6-inch Star Wars line.
I love that R2 has all the accessories you would want for him.
Yeah, the only thing he's missing...
He doesn't have the tray.
He doesn't have the Return of the Jedi tray. But other than that, he's got everything you need. Even if you want Episode 1 stuff on him, like the rocket booster leg things, they're there. But it all comes off, so he's not like trapped as Episode 1 R2 or something.
Because they've been milking new R2 stuff for a long time.
This one's got a sensor scope. This one's got a pop-up lightsaber. Yeah. This one's got this. This one's got all of it in one.
You can do all that
stuff. All R2 you need right here.
He's
great.
That was a good move.
I like the thing they did with Darth Maul, too, where they did the cloak and the head as kind of a separate piece.
Oh, yeah. So you don't have any jacked up action feature or push button down head. They haven't done that in a long time.
No, they haven't. But still, at the same time, you don't have to worry about a cloak that's going to fit weird around his head or something like that. I think it... Good moves on that line.
Yeah.
They also showed, for G.I. Joe, they showed a bunch more figures. They showed a really cool, like, cartoon-inspired Cobra Commander and Storm Shadow, which looked great. A redo of the original Tomahawk, which is awesome. I loved the Tomahawk as a kid. So some cool stuff for G.I. Joe. And then for Transformers, they showed a Metroplex that's, like, over 2 feet tall. It's the biggest Transformer ever. And it's $125. Not to keep harping on Castle Grayskull. That's half the price of Castle Grayskull. Yeah. And it transforms.
Well, I was thinking that price was just way too much.
The price is way too high for what it is. It's way too high.
I mean, there's no reason. I can't think of a reason. I don't work there, but think of a reason.
Everybody says it's because it's a niche line. It's a small production run, which is true. The price goes up as the production numbers go down.
Yeah.
But taking into the fact that you don't pay any licensing fees and you don't have any middleman, it doesn't have to go to stores. You don't have to pay Toys R Us and Walmart. They're cut. I don't see how...
Yeah.
Metroplex is $125 and Castle Grayskull is $250.
Those figures being $20 a piece. I mean,
$25. $27.
$27 now?
Are they $25 or $27? I think they're $20.
Don't tell me $27, man.
I think they're $27 on the site. Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Plus shipping. Their shipping is high. They were just $20 not too long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What can you do? I don't want to keep harping on that because everybody's going to be like, you guys are the Hate Motu podcast. And I don't hate Motu. I just hate when Mattel runs it.
Yeah.
All right, the last one I have. Do you have more?
I don't have any more.
One for me is the Four Horsemen Power Lords, which I thought were
awesome. Yeah.
I think those look great. I thought Power Lords is a quirky line as a kid. I liked it, and I liked what it was going on with, but I didn't think the toys were that great. But these are great. They're 3 3/4 scale. They're sculpted by the Four Horsemen. They've got the original guy that designed everything on board with the line.
Oh, that's cool.
I think it's great. I think it's fantastic.
I like the idea of them just being the team and just says, you know what, we want to do with this line.
Yeah.
And then just sculpt it and put it out.
Yeah.
If I had four buddies that I could sculpt, three buddies,
yeah,
and we all just sculpted, I would do the same thing.
No doubt, dude.
I would say, hey, what do you want to work on today? Oh, we're doing this thing.
A smaller line that's been gone for a while, like Power of the Words. No, not many people remember it. And just going like, you know what? There's enough. I like that line.
Yeah.
There's enough remembrance of other people. Let's just do it. Let's just do this line.
Yep.
That's great.
That's
so cool.
That's where it's at. Independent toy makers.
I hope they look at other 80s lines that were maybe smaller, like Sectars or something like that.
I would love to see some Four Horsemen Sectars.
And if they were in scale with these, like do everything in the same scale, 3 3/4. That'd be great. I know the original stuff was in 3 3/4, but do all of these in 3 3/4 and have them all interact with each other. Plus, they're a smaller company, so 3 3/4 scale is better cost-wise for them. Can you imagine like the Sektar creatures and stuff?
Oh, I can imagine
scale?
It. I can imagine.
That's so cool.
It.
That would be awesome. So hopefully they pick up other licenses.
What kids wouldn't want
on
that?
On top of this one.
What kid would not want that?
No, I don't know any kid. That is it, man. That's all I have to talk about.
All right.
That's a long episode, right?
It is. It's very long. It's the longest yet.
How long is it?
An hour, 27
awesome.
Seconds. Okay, so that's it, everybody. Thanks for listening. Grab your ladies and have a happy Valentine's Day.
And thank you again to Mike's mom.
Yep.
And to Mike Lacy.
And to Mike Lacy.
For the great snacks. And if you want
and
to
Mike
send
Lacy's
snacks,
mom.
And Mike Lacy's mom for having him.
Yep.
If you want to send us snacks like they did, you might want to wait maybe a week or two, because we got a lot of snacks right here.
Those aren't going to be here in 2 weeks.
Okay, well, don't wait.
Don't wait. So if you want
go to
send something, go to
facebook.com/actionfeatures and message us through the page and say, hey, I like you guys' show, and I think it's funny when you eat snacks. And, well, I want to give you some snacks, too. We'll try whatever you send.
We'll review it.
But please don't
we'll
send something gross
it.
Again.
Don't, we want anything that's
Mike Lacy
sick.
Did the right thing. He sent us nothing but yummy stuff.
He said he knew what we wanted.
Yeah.
He knew what we wanted.
He's like, I'm going to take care of these guys.
All right.
All right. Thanks, guys. So we'll talk to you guys next
time. Grab your lady.
Yeah.
Have a happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's Valentine's.